Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants will be in a listen-only mode for today's conference. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question, please press star one, unmute your line, and record your name. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Rob Ahuja. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Hello, and welcome, everyone. This is your host for DB Chat of the Lab series, Rob Ahuja. Our topic for today's webcast is Advanced Recovery Solutions for DB2 on Linux, Unix, and Windows. Before we begin, just want to remind everyone that you can download the presentation charts by going to ibm.com/db2/labchats. That's LabChats. ibm.com/db2/labchats. Now I'll pass it over to Bill Miner, the speaker for today's presentation and a member of our development team for the tools on the recovery solution side. Over to you, Bill.
Okay, thank you, Rav. I'm on slide two. As Rav noted, my name is Bill Miner. I'm with the tooling organization, the Optum Tooling Organization at IBM. Just a little bit of history. Started my career in 1996 in the DB2 customer support organization, and in 2000 I moved to the DB2 development team, where I was a developer and technical manager up until just about a year ago. And it was at that time when I moved, assumed a role in the Optum Tooling Organization, and I've been associated with a few tools we're going to talk about today. So, moving to slide three, before we get into talking about the specifics of the DB2 Advanced Recovery Solutions, I want to talk a little bit about, or review, if we can use that term, traditional DB2 LUW recovery methodology. So I've listed a few here on slide three, and these, for the most part, are probably familiar to most people. Certainly the first one here is pretty obvious, pretty pervasive. DB2 database or table space backup and restore. And the thing to note about this is the granularity at which one can affect a database or table space backup and restore is at the database partition granularity or the node level. You may also be familiar with HADR, High Availability Disaster Recovery, basically an environment whereby you have a production server, which we refer to as our primary machine, where all your application processing is taking place. And then you have at another location a standby machine, which has had a copy of the primary database restored on it. But on that secondary machine, that database is in a roll-forward pending state. And any activity that takes place on that primary system is written to the log files, and that log information is shipped across to the standby and replayed. If there is some type of outage that occurs on the primary, there is a failover or a takeover to the standby, and the standby becomes your new primary. And once you've corrected the issue on the primary, you can reinstantiate that as the new standby. So in that instance, we have a complete failover of the database. The granularity obviously is at the database level. The third thing I've noted here is replication-based solutions, so in particular QREP or SQL-based replication, whereby changes within your production database are captured. Subset of changes can be captured depending on some policy or subscription that you've set up, and those changes can be replicated to another system. So a much finer level of granularity of recoverability, if you will, compared to HADR or DB2. There are probably other types of recovery methodologies within DB2, and I'm sure that folks may have a combination or at least one of these recovery strategies defined in their environment. The whole idea of this review is to keep this in mind in context as we now discuss the DB2 Advanced Recovery Solutions for LUW. If we move to slide four, the primary goal of these solutions is to basically complement, extend, simplify, if you will, your overall recovery solutions for LUW. And there are three tools that encompass or comprise what we refer to as this advanced recovery solution. And they're listed here on slide four. So today we're going to talk about something called DB2 Recovery Expert. We're going to follow that up with a discussion on Merge Backup, and then we'll conclude with a discussion on Optum High Performance Unload, or HPU. One thing I should note is, I'm on slide five now, is that each of these are individual products. They can be purchased or acquired individually. You don't have to have all three installed on your system or in use. But there is one offering or packaging currently available, and it's listed here on slide five, whereby all three of these tools come bundled in this offering. And it's listed here as the InfoSphere Warehouse Advanced Enterprise Edition. So as you can see, there's some other tools listed here as well, but the description of the packaging is here. But in the middle, as you can see, the Recovery Expert, Merge Backup, and High Performance Unload are part of this packaging offering. So moving to slide six, we're going to talk about DB2 Recovery Expert for LUW. And this discussion really begins on slide seven. Recovery Expert, we're going to talk about version 3.1. And this EGA'd in June of 2011, and six-pack one is targeted for release the first quarter of this year. There were prior versions of this product, but for all intents and purposes, Recovery Expert version 3.1 is a brand new product. And what this product is a log analysis and recovery tool that manages DB2 systems. And the log analysis is facilitated, probably obviously, through the processing of DB2 log files. And recovery is facilitated through DB2 log files, as well as recovery assets, for example, any backup images that you have. And as we progress through the discussion of Recovery Expert, I hope that you'll gain a clear understanding of what log analysis and recovery is, with respect to Recovery Expert, and how you can have use these aspects of this tooling in your environment to help you complement, simplify, or extend recovery. Really, I should say that I am using the term recovery. These tools are not strictly recovery tools. They are, in some ways, data management or data maintenance tools as well, and we'll see that as this discussion evolves. The key thing to one of the key value propositions of Recovery Expert is its minimal disruption to DB2, and we'll talk about that in a few moments, how that is effected. There is a, for folks who are interested in these products, there is a trial license version of this product that one can download and use for 30 days. And there are slides at the end of this presentation deck that highlight where one can get that tool, get these tools, and acquire any collateral information that would be necessary to use these tools, the user's guides, for example. So the value proposition, the overall value proposition for Recovery Expert is summarized at the bottom of slide seven here in the box. It provides a simple and intuitive interface. It's very important. The interface is quite slick, and we'll see examples of this in a few moments. To manage and report on database changes through log analysis, as well as facilitate recovery in instances of either logical or physical data errors. Moving to slide eight. So what can Recovery Expert for DB2 LUW really do? It has the ability to evaluate your available recovery assets to determine which recovery paths are possible to recover objects to a requested point in time. So if you have some recovery scenario that you want to undertake, you input this kind of information into the tool, and it will evaluate your recovery assets and generate the recovery path that it will take to recover the particular object that you're looking for at a particular point in time. For example, drop table recovery. We can recover a table without doing a table space level restore. We have data change reporting through the log mining, so the log analysis. And so we can determine who did what, when, and where. And we can get into things like quiet time reporting. For example, that might be quiet time might be beneficial to DBAs to understand when the system is not conducting a lot of writes I/O activity for maintenance purposes, for running utilities, or for establishing point and recovery time for table space recovery, for example. This tool has the ability to generate SQL undo and redo. So this speaks to addressing logical data errors. We'll talk about this in a little bit more detail in a moment. And it is an easy-to-use environment for less experienced DBAs. As I mentioned a moment ago, it does have a very slick interface, intuitive interface for people that can to allow people to execute recovery in the simplest fashion possible. So, as pointed out at the bottom of this slide, the goals here of Recovery Expert are to help you reduce your disaster recovery time, eliminate user data errors, and to be able to track and report data changes for our auditing purposes, so to be proactive in looking at the integrity of your data that's in your database. Just briefly, on slide 9, some supported configurations. The two types of client interfaces available are a web browser. So through a web console, you have the ability through your favorite web browser to manage and use Recovery Expert to facilitate log analysis or recovery. There's also one can choose to install a Java command line. So for those who are more akin to working with command line type interfaces, scripting, that type of thing, we'll talk a little bit about the command line interface. Currently, Recovery Expert supports DB2L UW version 9.1. version 9.5, and version 9.7. And it obviously, as listed here on the slide, it supports a host of operating system versions. Moving to slide 10, this is a simple pictorial that illustrates the client-server architecture of Recovery Expert. So I just want to call out a few things on this slide. As I just mentioned, as we can see here on the left, we have a web console client. And the web console, to use the web console, you must install the Recovery Expert server, which contains an embedded web container. So that this really facilitates your ability to use a web client to perform Recovery Expert operations on DB2 databases. So on the right here, I have a DB2 instance with, in this particular example, two DB2 databases sitting in it, labeled 1 and 2. And down here at the bottom of the slide, we have the optional interface, the command line interface, which can interact directly with the DB2 instance. The one thing to note here is there is this data store repository that is created by Recovery Expert, and that data store repository can exist in its own DB2 database within the DB2 instance, or within within a DB2 database that already exists within the instance. What is this data store repository? Basically, this repository caches or houses a copy of the system catalogs for the databases that reside in your instance. So it's a version repository. It basically keeps track of all the objects that exist or have existed within your database environment. And for example, if you had dropped a table from database 1, that table would not be obviously recorded in the system catalogs for database 1, but Recovery Expert would know about the history of this database and as well as the definitions of that table. They would be recorded in this data store repository, and that's what Recovery Expert would use as part of that particular recovery processing. So the other thing to note is this diagram here, all these interfaces and these components could all reside on one host, on one machine. But typically, your database server would be sitting on its own host, and then the Recovery Expert server perhaps can be sitting on another host somewhere else, and then the web client could be on another machine, or perhaps these are all sitting on the same machine in conjunction with the command line client. So there's various configurations for this client-server architecture that one can set up for Recovery Expert. Key takeaways being there's a very rich, robust web console client, and there's also a command line client. And something to note is, as part of the up-and-running process, Recovery Expert will take you through the creation of a data store repository within the DB2 instance. There is one data store repository required per DB2 instance if you're going to monitor or recover any objects within databases in a particular instance. Okay, let's move to the next slide. This is slide 11. So this is just very quickly, this is what the interface, the GUI interface looks like when it starts up. This has a look and feel similar to many of the other Optum tools in the portfolio. It's quite slick. It's very hierarchical in nature, very simple. Essentially, the thing, the key takeaway here is I just want to give you a feel for what this looks like and to show you, for example, when it comes to Recovery Expert, everything is basically driven off this task manager here on the upper left-hand corner. So it's the starting point for all Recovery Expert actions. We move to slide 12. We've expanded the tasks that exist under the task manager there. There's basically a five different sub-menu options here. And the predominant things we want to focus on for this talk and what you would use this tool for would be the things I've highlighted here in the middle of the slide, log analysis, where we mine the database logs and have the ability to generate data change reports, as well as redo and undo SQL, should we want that. And secondly, is the recovery aspect of Recovery Expert. Perform a recovery plan for a set of database objects. Now, some of you may be familiar with DB2 on the ZOS platform or have worked on that platform. There is the same type of tooling, a very similar tooling on that platform. There is a separate log analysis and a separate Recovery Expert tool on the mainframe platform for DB2. One could view this Recovery Expert tool as a combination of those two tools ported down to the LUW platform. There's sessions and specifications options here. This is basically to save and track your work as you're using the Recovery Expert tool. So very simplistic, menu-driven and GUI interface. So let's characterize now on slide 13 some of the log analysis use cases. Generally, you would use log analysis to help you ensure high availability and complete control over your data integrity. So the first bullet here I have listed, monitor your data changes and isolate undesired or accidental changes. You could mine your logs and look at large unexplained spikes in log activity. What is causing this heightened log activity here? We could mine that, generate a log analysis report and look at that report and figure out what is causing that. You can look at transactions that are not committing. If you've encountered or encountering an issue where the active log is being held up and you're running out of log space or conditions, that type of thing, you can look at transactions that are not committing, or you could look at transactions that have been rolled back and perhaps you have a specific business need for understanding, you know, why transactions are not committing, why transactions have been rolled back, that type of thing. If you're using third-party applications, you can use this log analysis tool to see which objects are involved with those third-party applications. The next bullet here, correct logical errors. So we've mentioned that previously, but you can run log analysis and generate an undo SQL report. For example, perhaps somebody ran a monthly batch job instead of the weekly one. You would want to, you could use log analysis proactively to determine that, or maybe after the fact you've noticed that that, yes, something's wrong with the data. Somebody ran the monthly batch instead of weekly, and now we want to undo those changes. We could use the log analysis to generate the undo SQL for that. And similarly, for perhaps maybe somebody ran a delete script with the wrong parameters, one could go off and generate undo SQL to revert those changes, and then you could go and apply the correct changes. Who changed what and when? Someone dropped the table. Who dropped this table? What user ID? When did they do that? You could use Recovery Expert, for example, to reestablish that table, to bring that table back. And maybe you didn't know what indexes were defined on that table. That table is a historical table. It's been around for a while. It hasn't been used recently. It was deemed perhaps to not be important, so somebody dropped it. It was created a long time ago by another DBA. Determined that that was a mistake. We actually need that table. We recover it back, but we don't know what indexes were on that table. Recovery Expert will bring those indexes back with that table because it knows about the indexes that were defined on it. So in general, you could use log analysis to create regular audit reports for change activity. On slide 14, these log analysis reports have very rich reporting and filtering capability. You can generate a report and filter by application ID, application name, table name and ID, table space name and ID, log sequence number, LSN, if you happen to have that, transaction ID, partition group, authorization ID, schema, etc. You could use include or exclude filtering, wildcards, if you wanted to, for example, filter on a particular schema or there's a particular schema of table names that have a common prefix. You could use the include filtering or exclude filtering to just bring back a certain subset of those tables within a schema. And there's post-filtering. After you've generated a log analysis report, you've looked at the summary, you've started to gain some understanding of the information that's provided in that report, and now you want to hone in on a specific table name or a table ID or application, there's post-filtering capabilities that allow, so you can apply these different filters to the log analysis report in order to zone in on that specific data. You can filter by insert, update, delete. As I mentioned, you can filter by transaction status and see committed, partial, uncommitted, rollback transactions. The summary, the report types come in two flavors, basically a general summary report or a summary plus detailed report. And I have a very simplistic example of one coming in a few moments that we can look at to hopefully get an appreciation for what kind of content might be in such a report. The report formats, CSV, XML, or text type of formats are available. So moving to slide 15, once again, I just want to give you a feel for what the interface, the graphical user interface might look like. Very rich, lots of information in this graphic. It's hard to contain all the information on one slide, but I'll talk to some of this. This is an example here of a log analysis report that's been generated. And when we selected log analysis from the task manager, there are a series of hierarchical steps that we go through to generate this report. We specify the report type here on the left, the objects we want to perform log analysis on, specific filters, that type of thing. And this perspective that we're looking at here is basically the end result of this log analysis operation. And what we can see here are a number of tables that we've asked to perform log analysis on. And if we highlight this particular table, we can see here on the right all the transactions that have been executed against that table with additional information regarding, you know, time frame, that type of thing. And then if you highlight on a particular transaction, you can see the actual actions that transaction conducted. And at the bottom of this particular graphic, you can see review the undo SQL for each DML action that happened for that transaction. And there's a way to actually capture or generate the SQL report for this. And so you could get a very simplistic undo script and review that and then just run it against the database. So hopefully this gives you a rough feel for what this might look like. Here's I'm on slide 16. This is a very, as the title suggests, it's a sample log analysis report, very text-based. I've also chopped off some of the information here in order to get this to fit on this slide, but basically at the top here you get a summary of all the insert, update, delete activity that's occurred for this particular log analysis time frame. Here's some of the transaction information, transaction date, time, the state, committed. And then here are here's the tables that were affected, some of the actions that were affected. If we're in this simplistic case, we're on a single database partition, but if you were in a DPF environment, you would obviously see the action corresponding to the particular database partition if you had selected that database partition. And here's just some more information regarding the insert, update, deletes that have occurred on that table, some more statistical summary information. So there's a whole host of information. The whole idea is just to give you a rough feel for what this looks like. So let's talk about, on slide 17, the recovery component or aspect of Recovery Expert. One of the key things about this Recovery Expert tool is its ability to automatically determine the most efficient method of recovery for a given recovery situation that you're looking to execute. You can recover database objects to a user specified point in time, so that would be something you would input into the tool. And the key thing is that this tool provides you a finer granularity of recovery than afforded by the traditional methods that we spoke about at the outset of this call. And as such, with this finer level of granularity of recoverability, we avoid using resource-intensive disaster recovery. So recovering a table, if I have a table space with multiple tables in that table space, I don't have to do a full table space restore in order to correct that table. I have the ability with Recovery Expert to focus on recover one particular table, leaving the other tables within that table space available for online application processing. The ability to save your recovery scenarios. I'm using the term recovery here loosely. Obviously, we're not expecting to be doing recovery all the time, but as I tried to allude to, these tools are more than recovery tools. They're really data management, data maintenance tools. So there's aspects of these tools that you could use in your day-to-day operations, and you could save these scenarios for reuse or for cloning aspects of a database, and we'll see in a few moments when we talk about the other tools, test data management purposes, for example. We talked about recovering dropped objects and how Recovery Expert maintains the database object history. It keeps track of this within its data store repository with something it calls a schema level repository, SLR. You'll see that terminology in the user's guide. Something else that Recovery Expert can do through its command line interface, you can script up a command to extract data from an online backup image, and then you can use the log analysis component of Recovery Expert to extract the redo SQL for the logs that were active during that online backup and have that replayed against that data, and therefore, in essence, have the ability to extract consistent data from an online backup image. We talked about this already. Recovery could be physical in the sense we are trying to recover a drop table, but recovery could also be logical in the sense that we want to roll back unwanted changes throughout a database. So whether this is log analysis or the recovery component, in essence, ability to generate undo, redo SQL to correct logical data errors and keep the system online during this time. Once again, the finer granularity of recoverability is what this tool offers. And automatic recovery-related objects. We talked about, for example, a table. The table was dropped inadvertently, accidentally. We don't know what indexes were on there. Recovery Expert will recover those indexes along with that table data. Okay, moving to slide 18. Here's a very, hopefully you can see this, is a very busy, a little busy or a little hard to see perhaps. This is a, on slide 18, by analogy to the log analysis perspective, this is what the recovery perspective looks like if we had gone through a series of steps here where we've identified the objects we want to recover in the point in time here on the left. And when we get to this field here, this perspective is called the recovery plan, and it basically highlights what strategy Recovery Expert is going to do to execute the recovery you've asked for. In this particular example that I've mocked up here, this could be a recover a drop table, I believe. So what's going to happen is they're going to extract the original table data from a recent backup image and generate the redo SQL since that backup image to bring that table up to the point in time that the user has specified previously within one of the prior steps here. And so what you see in this slide are some of the scenario steps that Recovery Expert is going to undertake. You can highlight these steps and get further details on exactly what's involved. And at the bottom of the screen here are some status messages that would be generated when this recovery plan is executed, to give you an indication, to give you an indication of what's happening, the progress, monitoring, that type of thing. On the next slide, we've just broken out some of this graphic a little bit better for you, so you could see this. Here on the left, we see, this is slide 19. We're recovering a table called new_table. This was a drop table. It had some dependent objects on it, and as I just mentioned, Recovery Expert will show you the recovery plan that it's going to execute to bring that object back. In this particular case, it's going to recreate the object based on the definition in the schema level repository that's stored in the data store repository, and it will generate the redo SQL. So this table doesn't exist anywhere in a backup image, but it does exist within log files. We're going to use the log files to regenerate that table. And as I just mentioned, you can see all the steps that are taken and progress indicators as that recovery is facilitated. On slide 20, just briefly, I want to just point out once again, there is a command line interface for this Recovery Expert tool. And basically, I would think that the main operations one would want to conduct with a command line are batch log analysis. So perhaps you want to script up, write a script to perform a log analysis perhaps on a nightly basis or perhaps a weekly following some batch job. You want to use that report to validate or verify the contents, or perhaps rather send that log analysis report to the person who executed the batch or is most familiar with the data to validate that, yes, everything is indeed correct data integrity-wise. And then subsequently, I suppose, the data could be made available to the application programmers or the consumers of that data. So that's just an example that one could use the command line component of Recovery Expert to craft up batch log analysis processing. Or, as I mentioned a few moments ago, you could craft up a script to do data extraction from a backup. There's a native set of commands, Recovery Expert commands, OX here, run OX, that's object extraction. That's something you could craft up within a script and extract object data, as I mentioned, from a backup image. So if we look at slide 21 just quickly, this is just an example. There's examples in the user's guide, but just to give you a quick feel for what that looks like, you would write a configuration file, and in that configuration file you'd have some basic initialization commands to connect to the database, etc., and then run log analysis for the particular database and export the report from that session. And you would get something, you would get your standard log analysis report. We kind of looked at this already a few slides back. So here's another summary log analysis report for a period of time against this database, GSDB. So that's all for Recovery Expert. Now we're going to move into discussion of DB2 merge backup for LUW. And very similar circumstances for merge backup, actually for all these tools. Recovery Expert, merge backup, and high performance unload, there are analogs or parallels to these tools on the mainframe, DB2 for the mainframe. So if you're familiar with those tools in that environment, these tools are, for all intents and purposes, ports of those technologies down to the LUW space. So on slide 23, what is merge backup? Actually, merge backup, we're talking about version 1.1. This first came out in May of 2011 and has had fixed pack 1 in the fourth quarter of 2011. It is, strictly speaking, a command line utility, so unlike Recovery Expert, there is no graphical user interface for this product yet. It's command line only. But what it allows you to do is merge DB2 full backup images with DB2 incremental or incremental delta backups to build a new full DB2 backup image. And I have a series of pictorials that follow this slide to illustrate or to drive home that concept. The goal here, or one of the value propositions here, is this will eliminate the need for one to take DB2 full backups. So that's a very powerful value proposition, as backups are resource intensive in the sense that they're time consuming. They consume CPU, IO, system resources to create, and then also to store the full contents of a backup. So if one can move away from that methodology and eliminate or reduce the need to take DB2 full backups, that's great. The other value proposition of merge backup is you can actually run this merge backup processing on a database server other than on the database server or on a machine other than the database server. So in a mode which we refer to as standalone, which means on a remote machine. So I want to create a full DB2 backup image using merge backup processing, but I don't want that processing to consume resources on my production server, so I will run merge backup on another machine, and we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail at the end of this discussion of merge backup. Merge backup uses the history file to recovery history file, as does Recovery Expert for that matter. It has a reliance on the recovery history file to help evaluate or enumerate what backups are available for a particular merge scenario that you want to conduct. So the value proposition, once again, is basically to reduce backup-intensive resources on the database server, so eliminate the need to take DB2 full backups. We don't want to store large backup images on that production machine. If we want to change our frequency at which we generate full backups, and we want to create these full backups with processing that doesn't consume resources of my database server. Reduce the number of objects required during recovery. Today, one perhaps is using the DB2 incremental delta type of recovery strategy, and there are multiple objects that can be involved in such a scenario. And as we know, recovery is not something we typically, the need to recover is not something we typically predict. Comes at unforeseen times, so anything we can do to simplify that type of recovery processing is of benefit. It is of tremendous benefit to get you back up and running as quickly as possible, and prone, obviously, to less user errors. Okay, so before we specifically talk about the merge backup processing, just a quick primer or review on a DB2 incremental and delta backup. So I'm on slide 24. So incremental backups, so there's a graphic, the first graphic in the middle of the slide here. Incremental backups record all changes since the last full backup. So here we have a full backup taken on Sunday. And throughout the week, each night, we're going to take an incremental backup. And you can see that by the size, that's what the size of these objects is meant to portray, and as well the arrows here, that these backups are cumulative. They're recording all the changes that have occurred since the full backup was taken on Sunday. So, for example, Wednesday records all the changes that have occurred on Tuesday and Monday as well. We want to contrast that now with incremental delta, and I'm just going to refer to these. That is actually the syntax one uses when one takes such a backup. It's incremental or incremental delta. For the purposes of this talk, I'm just going to speak in terms of incremental and deltas. So deltas are backups that record all changes since the last backup of any type. So on the bottom here, we can see a strategy that has taken the full backup on Sunday, and then Monday, just a delta backup. On Tuesday, a delta backup. So only the changes between Monday and Tuesday are recorded in this delta backup. So this is what incremental, delta, and obviously full backups look like. Here's the context. And one could obviously have a strategy where incremental and deltas are mixed. I just did this very simplistically for the two scenarios, not a combined one. If we move to the next slide now, this is a very simplistic pictorial emphasizing or helping to visualize basically what I said that the merge backup capability is. It's basically what we see here, the timeline moving from left to right, full DB2 backup here on the left, and a series of incremental or delta backups, whatever, here on the right. And at this point in time, we invoke merge backup processing to create us a new full DB2 backup image. And so this processing merges, it examines, it inventories the contents of all these incremental backups, it records those changes, and then it generates a new copy of the database with those changes recorded in it. So it's a full DB2 backup from merge backup processing. This backup image is not replaced. One would have to manually or automatically get rid of that backup. We're creating a new backup image, full backup image with this processing. We move to the next slide and extend this, for example, over a period of time. We read the slide left to right, top to bottom. Here's our full DB2 backup, and then we have our series of incremental backups. And at this particular point in time, we say, okay, let's use merge backup to create another full DB2 backup. And that's what this purple, dark purple cylinder here represents. And then subsequent to this, we carry on with our incremental backup policy, and at some later point in time, we wish to invoke merge backup processing. We create another full backup. And in this instance, merge processing would merge these incrementals into the last full backup image. And so on and so on. I've just, if one could extend this as a function of time. So the key takeaway from this is really that we've taken one DB2 full backup here, and then from there on in, we use merge backup processing to create for us a DB2 full backup, whether that be a full database backup or a full table space backup. These are not new backup types. It's really just merge backup processing to create a DB2 full backup for you. So these backups look and feel plug and play just like DB2 backup images, because they are DB2 backup images. Okay, on slide 27, just quickly some comments about this tool. This tool is supported as of DB2 LUW version 9.7 6-pack 4 and version 9.5 6-pack 8. And I wanted to call that out because DB2 and merge backup do some handshaking, so to speak. So we had to put some code changes into DB2 to help with some of the merge backup support. And these are the code levels at which that support went into DB2. It is possible to scope out or see for yourself the behavior, rudimentary merge backup behavior at fixed pack levels less than these. To do that, you would have to work with us We could provide you an internal registry variable to, if you're not at these levels, to test out or at least experiment to see what merge backup can do for you. And then the supported levels would actually be these six-pack levels. And as a function of time, we would assume that you would be moving to a six-pack level, the six-pack level or one that's beyond. We talked about we're going to talk about standalone mode in a few moments in more detail. One thing to point out, the install is very quick. The up and running is very quick and clean. And if you have to install merge backup. If you're running this in DPF, you'd have to install it on each of the physical machines in that environment. But if you're using it in a non-DPF environment, you'd have one install, two prompts, just to accept the default installation directory or change it, and then accept the license agreement. So very, very quick up and running experience with merge backup. Okay, how would one use it? I'll speak relatively quickly about this. As I mentioned, it's command line a tool or command line with a control file. And here, control files are just ASCII text files that contain commands, native syntax to the merge backup utility. And I've just crafted out a very simplistic example of what this might look like. Here's the DB2 merge backup executable here, -F to specify the control file name. And on the right here is a control file that would merge a series of incremental images into the last full backup for the sample database. And in this particular example, I've chosen DPF, so on partition 1. And these images actually are stored and will be stored on TSM, and we're going to use backup compression. So this is basically at the bottom here some words to describe what happens in this instance. But very simplistic invocation and using a control file. One could use just the command line for this, but for specifying extra options, that type of thing, flexibility, or maybe you want to craft up some kind of template for repeated processing, you would write a control file, and there's lots of examples of these control files in the user's guide. Once you've written one, it's very simple to tailor that or use that as a template and tailor it accordingly for any other types of merge scenarios that you might want to conduct. So on slide 29, this is a very simplistic pictorial of what the merge backup standalone capability would look like. So here on the left, I have a DB2 LUW server sitting on host A, and it's performing its backups to storage here. This is this top yellow rectangle here. That could be an NFS file system or a storage manager, for example, TSM. And now in this instance, merge backup is not installed on the production server. It's installed on host B on the standalone machine. This machine has to be able to see these backup images. As I said, it's either a shared file system or TSM. You'd have to set this up, for example, with proxy nodes. Maybe some of you are familiar with that. Regardless, at a very high level, this machine has to be able to see those images, okay? And the goal here is obviously to offload the CPU and I/O that would normally be consumed by DB2 backup processing to this other machine and leave those cycles, those resources available for full exploitation by the production DB2 server. So that's the standalone mode of merge backup. Okay, that concludes the high-level overview of merge backup. Now for the discussion on the high-performance unload for DB2 LUW. We're now moving to slide 31. High-performance unload is actually the most mature of the software products in the sense it's been around for quite some time. The latest level release is version 4.2. and FixPack 1, which came out in the fourth quarter of 2011. So this would be the level of code that you would want. If you're new to HPU, this would be the level of code that you would want to start with. Or if you're already using HPU at 4.2 GA or prior levels, This is probably the level of code that you want to get to. But iPerformance Unload is very similar in its look and feel to Merge Backup. It, too, is, for the most part, a standalone command line utility. And what it is, as the name implies, is it's a high-speed bulk unloader. So it gives you the ability to perform high-speed bulk data unloads. And these unloads can basically be from two sources. You can unload from backup images. Okay, so those could be full DB2 backup images or full DB2 backup images created by Merge Backup. Or you could the images could be incremental images. This supports database backup compression. So we have the ability to extract data from these backup images. Or we have the ability to extract directly from the database container file, so directly from the runtime database, if you will. And this, because this is going through the is looking at the data directly at the database container files, this bypasses the database engine, and that's where the speed, the high performing speed, comes from through this ability to bypass the engine. Unlike, for example, export, which is SQL based and would go through the engine. So, what's the value proposition? How could, you know? So we have a high level view of how or where HPU could be used. What, you know, under what circumstances might we use it? Well, for recoverability, we'll talk about that in a moment. For bulk data conversion, maybe we'll want to convert a database from one code set to another code set, for example. Aspects of test data management, we have the ability to unload data, for example, from our production system and move that data to a QA test application development environment for purposes suited to those environments. You could selectively unload with, you don't have to necessarily unload all the data from a particular object in the database. You could use sampling and then qualify that with predicate-based queries, that type of thing. So in essence, this can give you a form of test data management. Another very powerful value proposition of HPU is its ability to redistribute in the context of databases that topologies that warehouse databases, so the DPF, the database partitioned feature, and migrate databases from one instance to another. Maybe we're doing a hardware upgrade and we want to move databases from one system to another. So we'll talk about these scenarios in a little bit more detail here as we move along. Slide 32, let's just talk about some of its features before exploiting some of the use cases. HPU can unload not only to flat files, so to disk, but you can also unload to pipes. So in that case, with pipes, there's no need for additional storage. So if I'm unloading from my production system and I'm constrained on storage on that system, I can unload to a pipe and have that data sucked out of that pipe, if you will, from a load via the load utility and put into my target system somewhere else. There are various unload file formats for HPU. They're listed here, ASCII, delimited, IXF, XML, that type of thing. These files can be directed to different servers and directories, and you have great control over the size and number of files that you may want to generate. You don't have to unload to one large file. You could split that data to multiple files if need be. One other aspect of this that I really like is you can ask HPU to automatically generate the load command required to populate the data back in DB2. So you specify to HPU you want to unload this data from this object. The data is unloaded in a certain format, and HPU will automatically generate the load command that you can use to put that data into a target system. So we talked about HPU is faster than export. It doesn't go through the database through the database engine. And we've seen we've quantified this typically as 10 to 12 times faster. But as most things performance related go, your mileage may vary. We've seen some tests that have been benchmarked at over 20 times faster. The noted HPU has a very similar look and feel to Merge Backup. It's command line or command line with control file. but one also has the ability to execute HPU as a stored procedure. There is full support for DPF, and with HPU, there is support for DB2 LUW version 9.8, the pure scale version of the product. There is no support for version 9.8 with Recovery Expert and Merge Backup. Support for the shared data architecture will come in the future release of DB2. So moving to slide 33, this is just a pictorial of an unload from a DB2 table space. So here I have a graphic or an object, a DB2 database, sitting here on this one particular machine. I've called it machine one. You see this light gray line here. And on the same machine, I have high performance unload installed, and this particular database, for the sake of this example, has two table spaces, A and B, and we're interested in extracting the table data for table one from this database. High performance unload reads directly into this container, reads that table data, and then unloads that data, for example, to a flat file that I've illustrated here on the bottom right-hand corner. One thing to note here is there's a dotted line. If there's, so HPU, you have the ability to say, select star from T1. That's a very simple native, if you will. It looks very much like DB2 SQL, but very simplistic statement, unload all the data. If you put in a very complex statement, unload statement, HPU might not be able to handle it natively, and it would have to go through the DB2 engine to facilitate that unload. So this is all explained or clarified in the user's guide as to what constitutes a complex SQL statement. There's also the ability to execute or run, invoke HPU in a no-execute mode to test the syntax of your control files, and I believe that will give you an indication of whether the SQL is complex and going to be executed natively or not. There are other keywords where you can allow HPU to run through the DB2 engine or not through DB2 force commands, or if you strictly only want the high performance unload directly from the database, you can say DB2 no. So I just wanted to call that out, but I'm not going to elaborate too much on that. This is an example of just for reference purposes of what that control file might look like for extracting that particular table data. As I mentioned, we're selecting here. You can see the select statement from table T1, and we're generating the load file for this unload, and this is where the output is going here. We've specified the output file, and in this particular example, we're sampling every 10 records. So I'm just going to leave that with you. There are lots of examples that you can use as templates from the user's guide. On slide 35, let's look at the pictorial for unloading table data from a backup image. And so here I have a different type of configuration. In this scenario, I've decided to depict DB2 sitting on machine one, and on another machine, are the backup images from this database. They've been moved to this machine, and so I've installed high performance unload on this machine. It's not installed on the production server, and high performance unload, as you know, what these green arrows are meant to depict here. It reads the backup image. It reads the locations of the table data, T1, and it extracts those, it reads it and copies that data out into a file, or it can send it to pipe from which you can load that data. Very simplistic view of extraction from a backup. Slide 38 gives the command syntax from that. I'm just going to leave that with you in the interest of time. I want to talk about here on slide 37 the ability to migrate all data in a DB2 database. So at the outset, I said perhaps I have a database that has a particular code set, and now I want to change that to a Unicode or some other code set. You can use HPU to unload from that database and put those target files on your other host and then load them into the new database. Maybe you're not doing a code page conversion. Maybe this is a new redeployment of hardware, for example. So here's another scenario where you could use HPU to move data in bulk out of one system and put it into another system. And I think finally my last example with HPU is in the instances of redistribution, as I mentioned at the outset. We have a data warehouse. And in this particular example here on the right, I have a data warehouse, DW1. It has four nodes. And perhaps we have a new set of hardware we're rolling on the floor and more powerful machines. We want to redistribute this DW1 database to this new system. And in this example, we only have two nodes for more powerful hardware. Maybe perhaps the use case is more the other way, where you're redistributing, you're adding new systems, new nodes to your system. So anyways, this could go either way. But in this particular example, HPU extracts from all these four database partitions in DW1. It generates the partition map for the new system, and then you can load that data and have it repartitioned according to the new topology of that distributed database. Okay, I'm coming to the end of the presentation here, but a few more things. Two things with high-performance unload. I mentioned that it was strictly, or for the most part, a command line utility. It does have integration with our Data Studio product, so there's ability to call and invoke high-performance unload from the graphical user interface that comes with Data Studio. And there is a DeveloperWorks best practices paper located at the URL listed at the top of slide 40. This best practices paper, as you can see the title here, this was a series of workloads and tests and utilization of an ISAS system, a very large ISAS system, upwards of a petabyte in size. And what this paper describes is how HPU was used, how you could use it in that environment, and in particular to facilitate extraction from backup images and repartitioning of your database. So I encourage you to look at this best practices paper. I believe it came out and was published in the middle to late fourth quarter last year. So it's a very good paper. Have a look at that. So in summary, this call today has talked about three tools that comprise the advanced recovery solution for DB2 LUW. So we've talked about DB2 merge backup, how that can be used to help with efficient generation of backups to give you a recent, up-to-date, full backup image, which would be of tremendous value in instances of recovery, simplifying recovery, speeding it up, high-performance unload, so bulk high-speed unloader, various use cases as we discussed for that, extracting from the database, high-speed extraction from the database, from backup images, the ability to repartition or reconfigure topologies of database systems, and then recovery expert, targeted recovery or an ability to effect a finer granular recovery at an object level, and also to proactively monitor the changes to your system in order to ensure high availability and complete control over your data integrity. On slide 42, where can we get this code? I have the URL here, and on this on the page that comes up with this URL, I've circled in red here where you can download the trial code. And actually, there's also underneath of that a link to the information centers, and what will come up there are the information centers for Recovery Expert, HPU, and Merge Backup. So once again, the trial code is available. And this example here is for Recovery Expert. Trial code is available for a 30-day period of time. This is, I think, maybe one of the pages that comes up. Another place, maybe when you click that link, it takes you to the DeveloperWorks URL. But if you do, you know, put Recovery Expert into your favorite web browser, you'll perhaps come up with this page as well, so you get more information on Recovery Expert. And in general, we talked about this. This is the online product documentation. You'll see this is slide 44. You'll see the info centers for Merge Backup and Recovery Expert and High Performance Load listed here. But in general, information for all these products, come on, the references slide 45, can be found through these various references here. Not specific references. If you don't, just search through a web browser. And in particular, one of these, I would really encourage you to check out the video demo for these three products at this location. That it's a short demo, and it will give you a feel for using these scenarios under which these tools can be used, and you can see how one navigates through the various interfaces to affect the outcomes of these tools or address the use cases that these tools are capable of handling. Okay, that concludes the presentation of these three tools, and I think it's now we have time for question and answer. So we'll ask the operator to throw the line open for any particular questions that one might have for these products.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, unmute your line, and record your name. To withdraw your question, press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1, unmute your line, and record your name.
And I think alternatively, we have the ability to type in questions in the chat window, but if after, maybe you'll take the slides away and you'll think of something or you'll digest this information. If you do have a particular question that comes up, feel free to reach out to the host. When you registered for this conference, for this webinar, I believe you were given information on how to contact Rav, or if you happen to know me personally, please feel free to send me some mail or channel this through Rav. And he can funnel your questions to me or through your IBM rep. They are certainly empowered as well to contact myself or a number of them. Some of these tools are relatively new. Some of them are coming up to speed on these tools and may be able to answer your questions about the technology. If not, I'm more than welcome to. And then questions regarding acquisition and purchasing and all that kind of stuff, please feel free to reach out to your IBM rep, and if they cannot help you or do not have the complete answer to that, we can get in contact with some of the product managers who are directly responsible for these three tools.
We do have a question from Mr. Ling Malu. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Kishore.
Hi.
I have a question in regards to the recovery export. How is it reading the data? Where from it is reading the data when it's presenting to the user for the recovery purposes?
Okay, so let me state that back to you. So basically, the general question is, where is Recovery Expert getting the DB2 data from?
That's
a great question. And for the most part, DB2 Recovery Expert is predicated on reading the log file. So
okay.
It utilizes the DB2 read log API to read the log file. But there may be instances as well where it needs to look at your other recovery assets. And there are some examples in the slide, but we talked about one of them. For example, maybe backup images as well. So perhaps you've dropped a table today and you didn't mean to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this table was created some time ago, and it was only updated, say, maybe in the last week. So what we may have to do is go back into the backup image, extract the original version of the table, and then reapply any updates or changes that have been made to that table up to the point in time you dropped it. So in a nutshell, Recovery Expert looks for data primarily in the log files, but there are instances where it may have to go back to a database backup image, and under some circumstances as well, it may have to go to the runtime database itself to get an image of a row. And this there's an extended discussion of this in the user's guide, but it's really specific to update processing and your the configuration of your DB2 database. There may be instances when we have to go back to the database, to the row in the database, to undo an update. And that can, and the reason for that basically is there are certain circumstances where DB2 writes what we call a highly optimized update log record. And by that, we don't write the full, we only write the changes that are being made to the row in that log record. So if we want to undo the changes that have been made by that log record, we need the previous image of that row, and if it's not contained in the log record, we'd have to go back to the database table to get it. If you're using currently committed semantics in version 9.7 of DB2, we would not have to do that. We would not have to go back to the table to get that row. If you're not, if you're using data capture changes on a table, we log full before and after images of the row in the log record. So I may be saying too much, or I may not be saying enough, but in summary, for the most part, it's Recovery Expert gets its data from the log records. It could need to get data from the backup images, and under some circumstances, it may need to go to the table, the runtime database itself. But in all instances, there this is minimal disruption to DB2 as compared to full table space restores or recovery or HADR, that type of thing. Is that does that answer your question?
Yeah, the most part. I have the you know, a little bit more clarification that I need looking for. And
okay.
You mentioned that in some cases it goes back to the backup image and reads the data, and where from it gets the data about the backup image location.
Okay, so Recovery Expert keeps track of your recovery assets. It will use the recovery history file to look for backup images. Anytime you take a backup with DB2, provided it's not a flash copy backup, that is recorded in the history file. So Recovery Expert will use the history file in its enumeration of your recovery assets. That backup could be sitting to disk. It could have been backed up to TSM. If you backed up to disk and then you manually copied or sent that backup image to TSM,
mm-hmm.
when you're doing your recovery, you have the ability to specify the backup location, or you would one of the recovery perspectives, so you can manually indicate that you've moved that recovery asset, that type of thing. But if we do need to look at a backup image, we would have to scan that backup image looking for the particular data that we're interested in.
I see. So in case, let's assume that the recovery history file doesn't have the backup image information, but it has to go back, for example, in the example you gave in drop table, it has to go back to the couple of days back, but the history file doesn't have the information. Can we manually feed that information? Will it ask the information, and can we manually feed?
Yes, you have the ability to specify the location of log files,
okay.
And you know, archive log file and backup historical backup images, if I can use that, or archive backup images in the tool. There's a locations tab in the tool.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's a couple of questions online as well that let me just shoot them off, at least the easy ones first. Are these tools built on Java or some other technology platform?
They are built, yes, yes, they are built on, when we look at, for example, Recovery Expert, it has multiple components to it, but yes, it does have a Java component to it. When we look at Merge Backup and HPU, for example, they're command line based tools, and they do not use Java. They're coded in C.
Another question that is platform related: are these tools supported for Z Linux?
Ari, that's a great question. Currently, I believe that HPU and Merge Backup are. Recovery Expert, we have not, this tooling, we do not have an official support statement for Z Linux yet. That's a test effort. We believe it should work on that platform, but we just haven't concluded our testing on that platform yet. So that is one gap that we are looking to fill by officially claiming support on the Z Linux platform for Recovery Expert in the near future.
Okay, and then Steve Fairbrother asks, do they all work with the workgroup edition of DB2LUW, or are there any additions that these tools don't work with?
That is a great question. I believe they do. We did have this requirement raised for us with respect to Recovery Expert. The key component or the key thing with this is basically test. We have tested, and I believe we do support with workgroup edition because during the beta program we did have that requirement. I would have to look at the packaging and the offerings to see if there is any to see if one can actually purchase these products for the workgroup edition. That's a great question. I would like to follow that up. So with whoever asked that question, if you could send your contact information to Rav, I would like to shoot that email off to the product manager to get a definitive statement on that. But for all intents and purposes, there should not be any issue working with Workgroup Edition. These tools are tightly integrated or work closely with the database and the database objects, so they are common across the various packagings.
Let's switch back to the phone lines to see if there's additional questions there before we get back to the chat questions.
Yes, we have a question from Mr. Kwaiban. Your line is open.
Oh, hi. First of all, it's a very good presentation, Bill. That's great. I have a question regarding Recovery Expert again, and I just want to know, I think you mentioned that it recreates a table and then it applied roll forward the changes. Does it also, can it apply the undo logs? Like, for example, if you want to flash back the database to a point in time, the whole database, can it use all those logs and undo them to a point in time?
Yeah, so log analysis, that was a very interesting word used there, flashback. There that is a that term is used in the industry. There's a capability advocated by an alternate database vendor. This Recovery Expert tool can effect or facilitate a flashback. What it does is, and I think it's important to point out, it doesn't do a roll forward processing. So in the example where we've extracted a table, or we have a table, and somebody's issued some type of rogue update statement to it, and we have the incorrect data in that particular table, we have the ability to run log analysis and isolate or pinpoint transaction that did that, and have log analysis generate the undo SQL statements required to bring that table back to the prior state. So that's how you would affect the flashback to that previous state. And in the log analysis report, one of the things you can see, it's very, as I mentioned, there's lots of information there. You have the ability to see data in its current state and in its original state, in its state of evolution. So you can see how the data has changed, and you can determine how far or to what point you want a flashback. Maybe you don't have that particular point in time, but you want to establish that. You can use the log analysis report or capabilities to generate a undo SQL, or perhaps it's redo, right? You can get to a particular point in time in one of two ways. You can go backwards to that point in time, or you can start from the beginning, if you will, and go forward. So the redo. So perhaps we'll flashback that table. We'll get flashback essentially means I want this table at a point in time, say 4 hours ago. I can undo back to 4 hours and 1 minute, you know, so a minute before that table changed. Or I have the ability to redo. I have the ability to recreate that table. Perhaps I need to go to a backup image. Maybe that table exists in its entirety in the logs, in earlier logs. I would extract that data from the logs and then generate the redo SQL that takes me up to that point in time that I'm looking to flash to. So it's not a roll forward processing. It's the ability to generate redo and undo SQL statements from the logs to bring the data or the object to whatever point in time you've specified.
Thank you. I think that answers my question. It's done at the table level. Can I do it at the database level, right?
To do it at the database level, you could effect this at the database level by selecting all those objects. I would probably, you know, it's capable. It's possible to do that. How efficient that is another question.
Yeah.
Really the value. Yeah. So in that instance, you would probably be looking at something broader in scope. For example, we talked about database restore, table space restore, or an HADR configuration where there would be a time delay between the standby and the primary, something that we are looking, something that you can look to see in the near future. But yeah, you would use the probably one of those technologies. But that's you could also, depending on the size and resource and time constraint, you know, there are other considerations that come into it. There's nothing that would preclude you from attempting to do that in the Recovery Expert tool. It would be possible. And, you know, I don't know, maybe you've experienced this in the past. I don't know how pervasive or how likely of a condition that is. Maybe one would want to institute log analysis to keep tighter controls over how your data is changing, so to avoid getting into a situation where you need to do a full reset of the data. You could, if you're carefully tracking or able to track at the transaction level or at a finer level of granularity, and realize that okay, the scope of these changes is isolated, and I do not have to impact the entire availability of the database. I can use this tool to just undo that one particular or a series of particular transactions that have made modifications throughout the database.
Okay, thank you very much, Bill. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
We have no further questions at this time.
Oh, okay.
On the chat window, there are still a few more.
Yes. There's one question here. How does merge backup work on multi-partition scenarios? So multi-partition. So in a database partitioned environment in DPF, backup and restore granularity is at the partition level. So each database partition has, each DB2 partition has its own set of recovery assets per database partition, right? Your log files, your backup images are at the database partition level. So I would take a full backup of table space A on partition 1, and then maybe I do incrementals going forward on partition 1. Merge backup would merge all those incrementals into the full on partition 1. So you're still dealing with multiple backup images, but in this instance, merge backup would be able to create full backup images for each partition. Okay. Let me see here. I'm just quickly scanning the online comments here. There's a comment about what are the costs for these products. Once again, I urge you to contact the your IBM reps for that. You know, there is an offering where these products are packaged. These products, I believe, right now are typically priced based on PVUs, but contact your IBM rep, and if you can't get the information you're looking for, they certainly have the means to access us or contact the host, Rav, and we'll put you in touch with the product manager for these products to give you specific details on pricing.
And also, in case you don't have an IBM rep yet, if you go to the web pages for each of these products that Bill listed a couple of slides back, on those web pages, you have an option to request a quote where an IBM will contact you and get back to you regarding pricing information.
Yeah, and just to preface that once again, someone did ask that, and I called it out at the beginning. These products can be purchased individually. They are purchased individually unless you're buying the InfoSphere Advanced Warehouse Edition package that's on one of the slides at the beginning. I think we're just about out of time, but there's one more question here I can quickly answer. Can merge backup merge combinations of online and offline backups? Yes, it can. That bullet point is denoted on the on one of the slides. The type of backup that you, if you have a series of online, offline backup images, the characterization of the full backup that is created by merge backup is basically given by the last or the most recent incremental that's used. If you have a full backup, incremental 1, incremental 2, incremental 3, and incremental 3 is an online, that is the type of full backup that merge backup will create. It will create an online full backup image. Okay, I think that we've run out of time. There's probably some other questions here that didn't get answered. If you could please send these questions in, I would love to have the opportunity to respond to these questions.
All right. Thank you very much, Bill, and thank you all for attending today's webcast. Just a reminder that the presentation slides have been posted on ibm.com/db2/labchats, C-H-A-T-S. And a recording of this presentation will be made available within a few days on channeldb2.com. Thank you very much, and that concludes today's presentation.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.